Ready?
The crowd screamed its approval.
Fight!
As Brody had suggested, Mogg and his men went after Hambley, allowing Richmond the chance to go after Ryan. Brody made sure Dorfman, Billingsley, and Foghat remained with Mogg and didn't try to take out Ryan amid the confusion.
You're good with a knife, Cyclops.
Better to be quick with a knife than quick with my mouth.
Richmond was a tall, lanky man. Ryan estimated they weighed about the same, but Richmond stood about 3 inches taller. Unlike the knife scars he'd seen on other Sekhmet enslaves here, Richmond had a big, round blaster scar on his right shoulder that was about 3 inches across. The wound was set back in the flesh about an inch, as if someone had scooped out a patch of flesh with a knife.
You want me to put down the knife, Cyclops?
Ryan shrugged.
No problem.
Richmond dropped his knife onto the ground and kicked it to the edge of the circle. Meanwhile, Mogg and his three men had Hambley, the mutie, surrounded. Billingsley was poking him with his pike, while Foghat was slashing at his back with his sword. There was pale red blood flowing over the mutant's equally pale flesh, making him look like a pre-dark barber's pole. Every once in a while, Hambley would make a break for the circle's edge, but Mogg would always catch him and pull him back for still more torture. As Ryan was dealing with Richmond, he noticed what was going on out of the corner of his eye and knew he'd have no trouble chilling Mogg when the time came. He was too careless and casual in his way, and Ryan would take full advantage of it when the time came. He looked back at Richmond and threw his panga to the ground, where the tip dug into the hard, dry earth and stuck, leaving the handle to quiver slightly in the sun.
I'll get more pleasure chilling you with my bare hands anyway. That way it'll happen slowly and with plenty of pain.
Ryan said nothing, concentrating solely on Richmond's hands and feet. Dorfman, one of Mogg's cronies, wandered over toward Richmond and Ryan, looking for a chance to chill one of them while they fought. But Brody stepped forward, waving the sharp end of his pike in Dorfman's face, and the man backed off. Richmond lunged at Ryan, but the one-eyed man was able to move left out of the way. Richmond turned, a slight smile on his face, then lunged again, this time feigning left, then moving right. Ryan again stepped to the side, but this time as Richmond passed him, he put out a knee, catching the Sekh man in the thigh and sending him spinning to the ground. Richmond spat dust and dirt from his mouth and rolled onto his back, expecting Ryan to be right there towering over him. But Ryan was standing well back, waiting for the Sekh man to regain his feet.
You'll be sorry you didn't try to finish me off, Cyclops.
I'll make you the same offer I made your friend. If you leave at the next break, I won't chew you.
Richmond said nothing for several seconds, then began to laugh.
You're gonna spare my life, slave?
I'm no slave.
Richmond grabbed a handful of dirt and dust and threw it in Ryan's face. The one-eyed man had been expecting as much from the Sekh man and turned his head to the right, causing the grit to sting his face and fall harmlessly against the patch over his left eye. Ryan moved in, not giving the downed Sekh man any more time to get back to his feet. But before he could get his hands on Richmond, the man had a knife in his right fist. He gave it a flick, and a 4-inch blade appeared as if out of the air. The crowd had noticed Richmond's weapon and realized he had brought it into the ring with him. They began to boo and throw rotten food and vegetables into the circle. Ryan was hit in the back by an overripe tomato. Grunwald got up from his chair, looking as if he might stop the fighting or force Richmond to drop his weapon, but the Baron motioned for Grunwald to sit down, then waved his hands, signaling that the combatants continue their fight. Ryan ducked low and kicked at Richmond's feet, sending the Sekh man spinning onto his back. Without hesitation, he kicked him again, this time hard in the stomach. Richmond sputtered and coughed up a mouthful of bile, but still managed to slash at Ryan's leg, splitting the fabric of his pant leg open at the knee. Brody moved in with his pike to pin the Sekh man down, but Ryan waved him off.
I don't need your help. Just watch my back.
The crowd roared its approval and turned its attention away from Mogg's battle with Hambley. The mutie had been cut and slashed so many times that he would probably bleed to death before the next break. But that hadn't stopped Mogg from continuing the torture, cutting off pieces of the mutant's body just to see how long he could remain standing. The sadistic punishment had held the crowd's interest for a while, but paled in comparison to the drama of the close contest being waged between Richmond and Ryan. Richmond slashed at Ryan with his knife, forcing the one-eyed man to back away. When a few yards separated them, the Sekh man reached behind his back and produced a second knife. For a moment it seemed he might toss it to Ryan to make it a fair fight, but it soon became apparent he had no intention of doing anything of the sort. He came at Ryan with both knives leading the way. Ryan backpedaled from the slashing steel, then tripped on something on the ground and fell onto his back. A groan of disappointment washed over the crowd as it looked as if Ryan would be chilled, but the one-eyed man grabbed a handful of dirt and flung it at the face of the approaching Sekhman, just as the Sekhman had done to him scant minutes before. Richmond stopped in his tracks and did his best to clear his eyes of the grit, but it was no use. He couldn't open his eyes, and even if he could, he'd still be unable to see. Ryan sprung up to his feet, ran around to Richmond's side, and rammed his heel into the Sekhman's knee. Richmond's leg bent backward, toppling him to the ground like a felled tree, and forcing him to drop one of his knives and use a free hand to try to clear the dirt from his eyes. Ryan reached into his back pocket and pulled out the brass knuckles he'd been given earlier in the day. He hadn't planned on using the weapon, but since Richmond had set the tone for the fight, he had no problem slipping the heavy metal rings over the knuckles of his right hand. Reaching back and cocking his arm, Ryan threw his fist forward, catching the downed Sekhman in the back of the head. The brass rings broke through Richmond's skull, allowing Ryan's knuckles to put a fist-sized hole in the man's head.